We want to talk tonight about authority in the book of Galatians. When we read these verses, you need to remember that at this time the New Testament was not written. There was no New Testament. Maybe the book of James had probably been written and was being circulated, but when they met on Sunday, no one could open their Bibles and read out of Galatians because it hadn't been written, and the rest of the New Testament had not been written. A few letters were written, and then later on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were written. But at this time, the New Testament had not been penned. So look, if you will, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Galatians probably can be divided into two basic ideas that Paul introduces in these first five verses, and then expands upon them. First is to defend his authority as the messenger of God, as an apostle. And he does that in the first two chapters, and he does that in the first two verses here. And secondly, to defend the message, because both his authority as an apostle and the message were being challenged. And so in verses 3 and 4 and 5, he then explains the message, and then later on he expands it out throughout the Bible. Verses chapters 1 and 2 are the messenger and his authority, and chapters 3 through 6 are the message. And Paul goes out to defend those. And so I want us to look tonight at Paul the messenger, and we don't want to look for a little bit at just one little phrase, Paul an apostle. Paul, an apostle. And I want to talk about the nature of an apostle. First of all, who are the people who make up the apostles? Well, the word apostles is used two different ways. It is used of Barnabas and Silas, and that is the same word, but they're always called messengers of the churches. They're always called apostles of the churches or messengers of the churches. The way it's primarily used is of the 12 apostles, the disciples that Jesus used, and they're always called the apostles of Jesus Christ, never the apostles of the church. And so there is a distinction between those two. Those are the people. And as far as we know, after choosing Matthias in Acts 1 to replace Judas, there were the 12 apostles, and then he was chosen. And then later on in the book of Acts, God personally chose Paul to be an apostle to the Gentiles. As far as we know, that office ended. There are no apostles today. We don't have the office of apostles. They were unique for their time. That's who the people that are apostles. Secondly, what was their purpose? Why were there apostles? Well, first of all, Jesus chose them. Because after he was crucified and rose from the dead and ascended back to the Father, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were to be the foundation of the church. As the church began to, in the Old Testament, it was the Jewish nation, and now it was the church. A church here, a church there, a church here, and a church all over the world. A local assembly of believers. And so Ephesians 2:20 says they're the foundation of building the church that was not previously in existence. Secondly, they were the channel from which this New Testament revelation came. This was the first book that Paul wrote, the book of Galatians. Paul wrote either 13 or 14 books. The rest of the New Testament books were either written by an apostle or someone closely identified with Jesus Christ or someone closely identified with apostle. And so they were the channel Just like in the Old Testament, the prophets and the ones whom God communicated to the Old Testament, now through the apostles, he communicates the New Testament, which we know to be the Word of God. Every scripture is inspired of God. It is God-breathed. It is from God. To submit to God is to submit to the scripture, because this is the New Testament revelation, and this was the purpose of the apostles. Look, if you will, in Hebrews chapter 2. And the third thing I want to look at is the power of the apostles. The power of the apostles. God gave special power to the apostles. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, he says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" He's speaking about the apostles. It was confirmed first by the Lord, this message, and secondly, by the apostles who heard Christ. That's who he's talking about. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Meaning God granted to them great power to do gifts of healing and miracles to give confirmation to the message, because there was no New Testament Bible written yet. And if you study the apostles, God gave them power. Peter had power to touch and someone was healed. Jesus had that power. Jesus healed people over and over, and there were many miracles. He calmed the storm. He did so many things. And part of that was to demonstrate who he was, to demonstrate that he was God in human flesh. And God gave to the apostles special power to confirm their message and their authority by the miracles and the gifts that they have. Now, having said that, that is where Christianity has divided to some degree. There are those in the Christian community who believe that what we call the sign gifts, gifts of healings and miracles, probably tongues, who I would call the Pentecostals, believe that those sign gifts are for today. And there's a whole group of Christianity, that believes, and that's basically where they get it from, is that the life of Christ and the life of the apostles, that they did signs and they did miracles and they did those things, therefore we have that same authority today. And so there's a whole group who believe in those sign gifts. Now, there are many on television who believe in the gifts and the power of healing. They would not say the healing comes from them, but they would say the healing comes from God. But you know who I'm talking about, who believe in touching and healing people and all the rest. So there is a group. There is also a group that believes the sign gifts ended. The apostles were uniquely given, just as Christ was given the power as God in the flesh to perform those signs. So the apostles were given those signs, and those what we call the sign gifts have ceased, and that would generally be us Baptists. Now, to say that we don't believe in healing is not true. I don't know about you, but I believe God can heal anybody, any place, any time, and so it's all right to pray for healing. Do you believe God can do miracles? Yes, I do. I'm going to pray for any miracle I can get a hold of, to be honest with you. But as to whether we would say that men today have the power that the apostles had, and I want to clarify that, because I don't want to disparage any of them. They're Christians, they love the Lord, and I don't want to get into that. But as to whether they have the power that the apostles had. When Jesus healed, Jesus didn't have to gather a meeting together and pump up everybody's faith. Jesus just healed, period. If you study Paul and Peter, they didn't have a gathering. When Acts chapter 3, when they were going to heal a lame man. They didn't gather a big meeting. They didn't have a big meeting and all of that. They just simply healed him. He was healed because that was the power that God gave them. I will note that many who believe this also have a lot of money and have a lot of possessions. And so I'll leave that with them. And I'm not going to disparage them in any way, but I want you to notice that is where the division is between the sign gifts that God uniquely gave the apostles, and he is not doing that in the same way. And I want to make sure I put that in bold print, in the same way. To my knowledge, there's no one today who can walk around and simply touch someone and they're healed on the spot. Now, they talk about the gifts of healings and all the rest, and that happens according to the sovereign will of God. That's fine. That's a whole nother sermon in itself. But I want you to show the difference, where it comes down because of the sign gifts given to the apostles. There's a second thing that flows along with that, and that is revelation. The New Testament was written by the apostles primarily. And as you well know, there are many today who have visions and dreams, and it's just everywhere where people are led of the Lord to do this and do that and do this, and it's just constantly today. Maybe they don't have visions and dreams, but it's constantly the Lord led me to do this, Lord led me to do that, Lord led me to do that. And that's okay, because I believe the Lord leads me and he guides me. But the emphasis, as I would understand it, is not so much a 18-hour day of constantly looking at where God is leading me and guiding me and speaking to me apart from his word. God has spoken, and now he speaks through his word. I do not say God can't lead you and God can't guide you, but a lot of the folks that I see who God's leading them every second of the day and God's speaking to them every second of the day, if you gave them a Bible verse, they're not interested in that Bible verse. They want to go off on another tangent, you know. They want to go somewhere else. And all I'm simply saying is, that's also another division. I am a man of the Scripture. Paul the Apostle was a unique man whom God gave to him the revelation of the Scripture. And the Scripture is my authority. I don't mean that God can't lead and guide and direct all of us. But as I've told you, this is a common problem today. I meet it all the time. It's everywhere. People are being led all over the way with God leading them. And yet, I don't see them diligent students of the Scripture. I understand that God speaks primarily from his word, though God can still lead and guide us. Okay, the power of the apostle, and then I want to look tonight at Paul the apostle. Notice what he says. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Paul was very clear to say that I was called as an apostle by God himself, and first, not by men. No one called me. And when he says neither by man, there was no agency. I was not set apart and ordained. I was not called by this church or that church. Paul is very clear to emphasize that he was uniquely called by God himself by no human agency. Look, if you will, in verse 12. He says a little bit about that, or verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after me, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he goes on to describe that he never met the apostles. He spent time in Arabia. God taught him, and he was never set apart by the other apostles. God called him uniquely. One of the signs of apostle was he had to witness the resurrected Lord. In Acts 1:22, when they got ready to call Matthias, that was one of the testimony. He had to be a witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul repeatedly said over and over in 1 Corinthians 15 and other places that I saw the resurrected Lord. I was called uniquely. And that is what he is emphasizing. To us, yeah, no big deal. But at that point, Paul the apostle was being attacked. You're nobody. Where do you get your authority from? And Paul makes it very clear that my authority came not from man, but it came directly from God. Now, does that work today? Generally speaking, no. One, they're not apostles. Two, is a person called by God? Yes. I believe I'm called by God. There are certain criteria to be called by God, but I believe I'm called by God. God called me. But it is also confirmed by the church and by other authorities. There are no independent Pauls out here who simply are on their own, called of God, I got a vision, that's it. He was unique. He was the last of the apostles, and he emphasized very clearly where his apostleship came from. I think there is a balance. He was, in chapter 2, recognized that God indeed had called him. And there is a balance between, yes, God calls us, he calls us all to serve him, but there's also the testimony and the witness of the church. There is a balance in there. So Paul says very clearly that I was that apostle unique. I guess that's why I like Paul. Paul knew some stuff that Peter didn't know. He knew some stuff that the other folks didn't know simply because God had not revealed it to them, but God revealed it uniquely to the Apostle Paul. That's why he is the writer of much of the New Testament. He is that one whom God gave his revelation. So those are the nature of an apostle. Now notice who he says about God. But he says, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. It's interesting the way the scripture says that. He was called by Jesus Christ and God the Father. In the scripture, when it's speaking of God the Father, God is our heavenly Father. When we pray, our Father who art in heaven, he is our heavenly Father because we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. But in this passage, the scripture is emphasizing the uniqueness of Jesus Christ and the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. That's why he's called God the Father. In other places, he's called the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these verses may not be seen at first, but they're emphasizing the deity and the Trinity at the same time. That God the Father and God the Son had a unique relationship. Both are God, both are deity. Both have the same essence and nature as God, but there is a relationship in which God the Father has with God the Son. And Paul emphasizes that these are the ones who called him. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God, they are one God in their essence and their nature, but three distinct persons. And so the Bible emphasizes that God the Father. Then he says in verse 2, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Paul writes to these churches, and he writes because he was the founder, probably, of these churches, and he writes as authority, because after he left, people would come in to distort the gospel. That's generally what happens. You know, people, you may not believe, and I didn't used to think they were, but now I'm realizing there's a lot of false prophets that run around trying to distort everything and trying to make unclear to people. Can I tell you something? You go out there and talk to a few people, they are confused as they can be. I've never seen it as confused as it is today. They are confused as they can be. And Paul writes to say, no, we're going to deal with this confusion. Do you know this is the only letter that he did not start out by saying, I thank God for you, how wonderful you are, how great you are. He jumped right in and rebuked them. Notice what he says in verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, meaning himself, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And then he repeats it again. So whatever is the issue here, it is the gospel. We are saved by faith in Christ and Him alone, and we live for Him in the power of the Holy Spirit alone. That is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He made sure He wanted to defend it. He says, verse 2, and all the brethren, you see in the life of the Apostle Paul, as it should be in all of us, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are brethren. We are a family. I repeat again, I don't know how a person can love Jesus and say He's their Savior when they don't love the people He died for and they don't love the body that He's the head of. Jesus Christ is the head of this church. I'm not. You're not. We have certain criteria for decisions, but ultimately, Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He died for the body, and Paul always wrote to churches. He always talked about the brothers and sisters in the Lord, because that is the great thing. We are part of a family. I wish more people would love the church, but they didn't get a chance to sit under Dr. Harold Burchett that I got the chance to. And, buddy, he talked about loving the church. I love it when he used to say, bless God for someone who rolls up their sleeves to try to take care and make the wrinkles on the bride of Christ just a little bit more smoother. Because Christ loves His bride. We may be few in number tonight, but that didn't mean that Jesus Christ is not present among His family and among His children. He loves His church. He cares for His church. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be part of the New Testament church. And I'm proud to be part of those whom God revealed to us, the Scriptures, and we can know His ways.